Rich nations back a landmark deal to tax multinationals. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vishala Sripathma in for Victoria Craig. Good morning. It's being described as a historic deal. The world's most powerful economies have agreed to tax the richest companies more fairly. For years, some multinationals were able to get away with paying little tax relative to the billions of dollars they make in revenue. But that's about to end after finance ministers meeting in London agreed to make companies pay more in the nations where they operate in. There are also plans for a global minimum corporate tax rate of 15%. Matthias Kormann is the new Secretary General of the OECD.
We want to ensure that multinational companies can't structure their affairs such to essentially pay very little or no tax by shifting their profits into relevant low or zero tax jurisdictions. And so when there are two components to this, and the minimum level of global taxation of at least 15% seeks to address the profit shifting activities in a more meaningful way, but also for those digital companies and other large companies who generate significant profits in markets around the world, you know, we are seeking to ensure that they pay their fair share of tax in those markets. It is certainly true that, Ireland is in a particular circumstance given their 12.5% corporate tax rate. But I mean, this is a matter now of international consensus on what the appropriate minimum global corporate tax rate should be to ensure that governments around the world can raise the necessary revenue they need to fund the public services and support their populations expect.
Matthias Kormann. As Mr. Kormann identified there, Ireland may lose out under this new tax. According to the country's finance minister, a potential $2 billion a year could be lost in revenue. Well, Danny McCoy is the chief executive of the business lobbying group IBEC in Dublin.
Ireland is obviously a country both of interest and of concern, perhaps, to the international community. But I think this deal with a minimum effective rate will actually work to Ireland's benefit, because over the last generation, Ireland has built up a really significant global platform. And so when the rules change to effectively stop other countries undercutting Ireland, it's to Ireland's advantage. So this would have impacted Ireland 15 years ago dramatically, but I don't think it will impact as much today.
A more optimistic Danny McCoy there in Dublin. Well, let's check in the markets. Tech shares are low in Europe and the US in pre-open trading as they react to that new G7 tax agreement. Facing a third coronavirus wave, Thailand is beginning a mass vaccination programme. The country is facing competition for doses, but is desperate to reopen for foreign tourism. The BBC's Jonathan Head is in Bangkok.
I don't think they'll be ready for the summer season, although they're looking to parts of the country to open up early to tourism, in particular the holiday island of Phuket, which has been absolutely devastated by the collapse of foreign tourism. There's been no foreign tourism at all, effectively, for more than a year. Phuket, essentially, it looked like an apocalypse. It's just the whole place collapsed. So they've been vaccinating people early there in the hope that they can induce vaccinated foreigners to come even as early as next month, although no one's sure just how many will come. They still have to stay for 14 days on the island. But for the rest of Thailand, at the moment, if you want to come here as a foreign visitor, you have to do 15 days completely contained inside one room in a state quarantine hotel. It's very expensive as well. So, you know, you can imagine this is not viable for tourists. And they hope that by the end of the year, if they can hit their target, they're aiming for 100 million doses of vaccine by the end of the year. That should get most of the 66 million population, that would enable them to open their doors fully. The big question is whether they can hit that target. They're very late starting. They have vaccinated perhaps up to 4 million people with a first or second dose up to this time. But the real rollout starts now. So, you know, to get 100 million done by the end of the year, that's going to require a massive logistical operation. It's possible they can do that. There's a good health system here. But more importantly, it requires a reliable supply of vaccines. And that's where the question marks are. Thailand, like every country, is scrambling to buy vaccines on the open market and struggling to get them.
The BBC's Jonathan Head in Bangkok. Thank you.
Nice to talk to you.
Now, it might feel like very few people do not have an opinion about the digital currency Bitcoin. Well, it's just had a ringing endorsement from the country of El Salvador, where the government plans to formally adopt the currency as legal tender. Many there are hopeful it will make financial dealings easier, as Mike Butcher, editor of Large for TechCrunch, explained.
Remittances are a large part of El Salvador's economy, and somebody who's working a job in America, for instance, often is sending money back to their family in El Salvador, and they're using normal services like Western Union or other kinds of normal government fiat currency trading gateways. And actually, these can be quite expensive, especially if you're, you know, driving a bus or something like that. In theory, the idea is that you'll move money via Bitcoin in and out of the country, and comparatively speaking, the costs would be vastly lower.
Mike Butcher there. Some experts remain sceptical of that plan, given that 70% of the country are still unbanked. Bitcoin watchers will be watching that closely, I'm sure. In London, I'm Vishala Sripathma with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.